right. Well, it's good to be here. I can tell you that with all assurance. And I appreciate all the prayers more than you know. And we'll talk about that more here when we get going. But just thankful to know that you have so many people praying and really meaning it. You know, not just words, but really interceding. And I don't know, it's great strength. I tell you, it's great strength. So anyway, I won't keep you long. You guys will stand. Let's pray and sing some songs. Father, we thank you this day. We thank you for your great grace, your great warm embrace, Father, that just encloses us in your bosom, and just the great comfort, the great peace, a peace, Father, that truly passes understanding, that's beyond vocabulary. It's just a peace that passes understanding. Father, we thank you. This great peace that has been bought and paid for with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Again, it's beyond our feeble minds. But Father, as we stand here this day, may your presence be manifest. May this room, may every heart hear and everyone listen be filled with your great grace, your great peace, your great joy. In this world that's full of trouble, that has men reeling to and fro like a drunkard, Father, you've brought us into the safe haven, into the very bosom of your heart, and you keep us sheltered from the storm. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your blessed Son, our Savior, our Lord, our friend, King of Kings, whose name is Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.
Rich in love. Savior, I come. Quiet my soul. Remember, redemption's here, where your blood was spilled. My ransom, everything I want held dear.
Seraphim in ceaseless flight around. The words of the song say, "Hallelujah be to our great God." And if we had a clue of how great, how amazing, how wonderful, how beyond description that He is, we don't even have the words to say who He is. And I think about that sometimes, and I think about the Hebrew children, you know, how they considered that name so sacred that they wouldn't even say it. And you know, in our world today, that name's tossed around, it's cursed, it's called anything but glorious and great. But our God is great, and He is mighty, and He is merciful and loving, long-suffering, patient, tender with us, desiring that none should perish, but to bring us all to the knowledge of who He is, to that good, good God that He is. How great, how marvelous He is. How worthy of all of our praise. Hallelujah be to our great God this morning. You know, each one of us, I'm sure, have lots of things that we could say, hallelujah. Thank you, God, for what you've done in our lives. Great and mighty, great and wonderful is our God. Let us never forget that. He is worthy of our praise.
Well, as I said, it's definitely good to be here. All the little kitties. You know, I just share with you guys where we're at, what we're going through. I know you guys are all abreast of everything. And so I'll just share my experience with you. I'm calling this Stand by the Well. Stand by the Well. I just kind of added that little part in this morning on the ride up here. But let me give you a scripture just I'll be in Psalms 107. I start at verse 23. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy winds. Who does that? The Lord. These see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. He commandeth and raiseth the stormy winds, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven, they go down again. To the depths, their soul is melted because of trouble. Anybody's ever been on the ocean, been a little seasick? They go up to the, it just means the waves go up high and they go down. Who raises it? Who does this? The Lord does it. And their soul melts because of the trouble. And, you know, this is, I'm just sharing with you. And I'm telling you, some of the stuff, in the churches, and everybody wants to come to church to get rid of all their troubles. But I'm telling you what, look at this verse right here. These see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. This is where you discover him at. I was telling my kids there, you go through these things, man, you got to feel the pain. You got to feel it completely. You can't numb out of it. You got to go. You got to experience it. The trouble there. This is where the Lord is. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. You ever been at your wits' end? And I'm just sharing this with you. You know what I mean? Your wits' end. People say that I'm at my wits' end. My wit, my thinking, my understanding, it's come to an end. I just told you a minute ago, there's a peace that passes that, Gene. When I'm at my wit's end, there's still peace out there. There's a peace that passes my wit's end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He makes the storm a calm so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet. So he bringeth them into their desired haven. I don't know, I'm just thinking about that psalm right there and thinking about everything that's gone on in the past few days. You know, you always say this to people. I mean, nowadays, you're a phone call away from disaster, I guess, if you want to call it that, from the storm. I mean, things in your world are going one way, and then next moment, they're bottom uppers. Everything's changed. And, you know, a few weeks ago, and this prayer hasn't left me, but you begin to experience things, and you know the Lord has brought you into it. And, you know, there are certain things, words, terms, whatever. I mean, I desire to know the Lord, and I was praying, teach me to pray. You know, I'm always, because I know prayer is so huge, it's so important. And I don't know about you, but I never feel like I fully understand it. I mean, I don't know about you, but I mean, you think, well, you're in the church, you should understand, you're a preacher. I mean, there is something so awesome with prayer. And I mean, it eludes me. I get it sometimes, and sometimes I don't. And, you know, it's how Jesus lived. He rose up early in the morning, went to the mountain, and he was always praying. And he come back from that place and did mighty works. And so much the disciples says, teach us to pray. They didn't say teach us to preach, teach us to walk on the water, teach us to heal the sick, teach us to pray. I mean, life is in this prayer. And I would pray that. And then, you know, I felt like the Lord had brought me into beginning to understand intercession a little bit. And you know, that little lady that came up last week and we prayed for her, and I thought, wow, that's intercession. You know, somebody here is at their wit's end, and so you're praying and you're praying and you're praying. But then we never feel like we're brought to that place. You know what I mean? And when I say, you know, you get that phone call, and you know, it's told to you, if you want to talk to your mommy, you better get down here. And, you know, I was right up here at what we call Young's. It's, Dad would know the place. I'm down at the Man's Head. He knows where he calls the Man's Head. I'm sitting over on the railroad tracks. This other guy pulls up, you know, why ain't you gone yet? Well, it takes you a few minutes to get your legs back under you. You know what I mean? When you get a call like that, you get, you know. I told him it's like being punched in the stomach. You just don't, you know, it's gut punch. Got to get your legs under you, and then you go on. And, you know, in the moments, sometimes you pray, sometimes you don't. You get it, wit's end. You sort of lose it. For a little while. And, you know, you get down there and they pretty much tell you it's over. And this was Thursday. And then Friday, it's going on. If y'all have seen Mom, it was pitiful. I mean, just had that big old mask on, just grunting and groaning with every breath. The doctors say it's over. And, you know, in your mind you're thinking, well, you want to make her comfortable. And you get to the point where you don't even know how to pray. I mean, I'm just telling you, you don't. I didn't have no magic words. I never have any magic words. And, you know, I was texting all y'all you know, we're praying, and I want to tell you something I found out about you guys. Some of y'all are hard-headed. I'm looking at some hard-headed people because, you know, I'm saying, well, it's over. It's over. And Kathy keeps saying, well, Pastor, you may say that, but I just can't agree with that. I'm like, are you hard-headed? She hard-headed, Joe? Amen, brother?
And, you know, I'm thankful for that. She just says, I keep hearing the Lord say, stand. And, you know, sometimes you get to the spot where you can't stand, and other people are making intercession for you, and they're standing for you. And I didn't know, and I said, well, Kathy, I don't know. Just follow the Lord. Don't follow me, because, you know, they're telling me it's over, and you sort of get into the dread of things and all of this. Well, and you don't realize that somebody else is standing in it or saying, wait a minute here. There is something to be standing for. And, you know, you get all these reports, and all the reports say it's over. But I'm telling you, if you would have seen Mommy Friday morning to what she was Friday afternoon, my God, I mean, you have no idea of the difference. I mean, she's still got a long ways to go, but you have no idea of the difference. And I can tell you this, having done all stand, and you know, it comes around and things become, you know, after you see, you know, the depths of the trouble and the waves here, there, and you're at your wit's end, but that's when you begin to discover something about the Lord. I'm telling you, something precious about the Lord. Let me read these verses here, and we'll just talk. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. I'm in Ephesians 6:10, Morgan. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Thank God it says don't be strong in you. Don't be strong in others. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And I'm telling you, they may not look like it, but they're bearers of bad news. They come at you from all sides, and they got little things on. They say MD, doctors, and they pulmonology or whatever, the cardiology. Now come and say, it's over. Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand, because they come with these reports. They do. They come with these reports. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against rulers of the darkness of the world, spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, stand. There it is again. I mean, this thing keeps saying stand on it. Stand. These evil reports come, but stand. And they keep coming, but stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. With truth. And that's as far as I'm going to read. Having your loins girt about with truth. And I'm going to tell you what, guys. It's real easy to get punched in the stomach, kicked in the teeth, and forget about truth real quick. It's really easy to fall by the wayside. He that thinks he stands, beware, lest he fall. I mean, it's real easy, and this is for anybody. You think, man, I'm strong in the Lord, and I'm standing in the power of His might, and this is it. And, I mean, there you are. You're lost for a moment. Stand. We were talking about that a few weeks ago. Stand. I had no idea I was going to be living it. Stand. I was going to be living intercession. I've seen when I'm too weak to stand, others are standing, and it's intercession. And we stand for others, and thank God they stand for us. Having your loins girt about with truth. With truth. Tell you, you know, it was there with Mom, and I mean, she's grunting for every breath. You have no idea. I mean, she's in pain. She's got that big old BiPAP on. It's at 90%. When you pull it up off her face to wipe her mouth, she's got a chin strap on, and when you'd pull it off her face, it sounds like a tornado blowing, you know, with that air where it was up so high blowing in. She hadn't eaten 3 days. She couldn't eat because of that. That had so much wind in it, it would blow the food down in her lung, in her lungs. And she's just grunting and groaning. And, you know, they were talking about putting her on the ventilator, and they sort of knew she went on the ventilator. That's probably it. And one of the doctors told us after a couple of weeks they may be able to do a tracheotomy on her and bring her back off the ventilator. But Mom says, I don't want that. I don't want that trach. And then she is telling us that if she flatlines, she said, don't bring me back. Don't bring me back. And, you know, that's tough when you hear that. It's tough when you hear that, and people, you know, was kind of standing around, and you know, people are crying, and, you know, and you know, I'm over there at her bed, and I lean in, and I said, well, Mommy, are you all right with it? I mean, do you understand what's going on? And she said, yeah. Now, you got to be up real close, because at that time she could barely talk, and you had to be up close, and I don't hear too good anyway, so I got my ear down pretty close. And she said, yeah, I'm fine with it. I'm just tired of hurting. I'm tired of struggling to breathe. But she said, it's all right. She said, I saw Mom and Dad and Debbie. They came and visited me and said, it won't be long. We'll all be together. And she said, they had coats on and I was cold. So she said, my time ain't yet. And I knew then great strength came in me. And I knew then, well, if we have to go to the ventilator, it'd be all right. I mean, I just knew she had great peace. I mean, we're all in trouble. And she had great peace. And I'm going to tell you what, Jesus did something on the cross. He did something mighty and wonderful. He took the sting of death out, the sting that all the people up to the time of Jesus had to deal with, and he took it. Now, we don't even understand this, and I'm telling you, in that day, we get fearful, and we want to med people out and do all this stuff, but I promise you, Jesus took that sting out. I was talking to Brother Jeffrey this morning. He was telling me about Brother Ira. I don't know. I know Dad knows Brother Ari Ray and little Jeffrey and all them, and he said they was down there at his house and watched Brother Ari Ray leave. And he said when Brother Ari Ray got ready to leave, he looked in the window and he said, look at that dove. There's a dove in my window. And they're looking around and you know, they searched the window over and there was no dove. But I'm telling you what, their eyes couldn't behold what his was beholding. And I said, you know, when you get to share this experience with somebody, there's a door that opens up into another realm, and there's a little bit of light that comes through, and we behold just a little bit in the depths of the trouble. We behold the Lord of how he died. I mean, we might think, well, they died. They didn't die. They didn't die. Maybe their body, and we might bury their body, but they passed into life, into wonderful life. And you know, people would go through their life scared to death and worried to death about it. But if you've been with a Christian, when they die, it's victory. It's victory. Now, there's some people don't want to be around it, and they think it's ugly, and they think it's all of that. But I'm telling you what, it is victory. I was praying to the Lord, and here was my prayer, and I'm just going to share it with you. I said, Lord, if it be death, let it be a good death. Let it be a good death. And if it be life, let it be wholeness. You know, don't let her live on these machines. Let it be wholeness. And I discovered this morning, you see, I thought it had to be one way or another. Now, hear me this, and my mind can't even understand this sometimes. But I'm saying if it's going to be death, let it be a good death. If it's going to be life, let it be wholeness. And I'm thinking it has to be one or the other. And the Lord told me this morning, why can't it be both? I said, yeah. Why can't it be both? I mean, do you understand that? Why can't it be both? These things amaze me, guys. These things amaze me. And I'm telling you, you know, I can remember the time a long time before I came back into the church. My mom's mom visited her, or visited me, I'm sorry, in a room and woke me up shaking my big toe, telling me everything's going to be all right. She told me she was my guardian angel, and I know you think, oh, that's just a crazy dream, and she brought another lady with her. And she said, when you go back to work, find Eddie Dingus and tell Eddie Dingus about this lady, and then you'll know it's real. And I went back to work. Eddie Dingus lives in Canova, West Virginia. Or he lives up at Fort Gay, West Virginia, if you know where that is, way on up the road. And we were staying in a motel in Troutville, Virginia. And I got there on Sunday night, and I went down there and was telling about this woman. I didn't tell him about the dream. And he said, well, that's my mama. Even told him what she was wearing when she died because she was there. He said, well, that's my mama. I didn't know you knew her. He said, well, I met her the other night. Then he jumped up in the bed and said, get out of my room, you're scaring me. Why can't these things be? I mean, you know, why can't these things be? We think, well, it's all that. I'm telling you, there's another realm out there. And these eyes, they just behold this natural stuff and they see fallen stuff. But there is another realm out there. And then sometimes on the high on the mountain, Peter, James, and John, they saw Moses and Elijah right there. And I'm telling you, it wasn't a figment of their imagination. It was really Moses and it was really Elijah. Do with it what you want, but they were there. It was really Moses and really Elijah, and they talked with them, and they were talking to Jesus about his exodus. About we're talking to him about the cross. Isn't these things wonderful? Isn't these things wonderful? I mean, we hurt and we mourn and we miss them, but I'm telling you what, this is the glories of the finished work of Jesus Christ, what he has done. And I'm telling you, it only gets better. It only gets better. And to know that mom was being visited, and I'm telling you, you know, when my first son, Stevie, was born, and I was... You know, when you have your first child, I don't know about you, but you're all worried. And you know, you want everything to be all right. And I'm going to tell you who come bringing him to me, showed him to me. And I saw he was a little boy. I didn't have to have a sonogram to tell me it was a little boy. I already knew he was a little boy. I saw him before he was even born. And Dad's dad, Papa Moore, come bringing him to me. And he said, little Jim, he's all right. Look here at him. He'll be with you before long. And, of course, he wasn't crippled. I believe these things. I mean, they happened to me. And I didn't even have a girl's name picked out. I guess I could have called her Stevie. But, I mean, these are wonderful things, wonderful truths. And they're right here. And we have them in the scriptures. We see these visitations and things. And the Lord Jesus himself rose from the dead. I mean, when he walked on the water, they thought he was a ghost. I mean, and here's a natural man. Natural people don't walk on the water. But Jesus walked on the water. And Peter walked on the water to go meet Jesus who's walking on the water. And I believe it was the time of a storm. But I tell you, I started looking in the Bible. I said, stand. I want to go look for, you ever just look for a word and I want to type this word in, stand, and I want to see where stand is used in the Bible. And I go back and I'm looking in the Bible and I'm seeing some things and I'm just sharing with you. I ain't really got a long sermon drawn out, but I'm looking in the Bible and I go back and I see and one jumps off the page here. And I'm telling you, in Genesis 22, that's when Abraham offered Isaac. Now, Abraham here would be a picture of God the Father, and Isaac would be a picture of Jesus. And he takes him up on Mount Moriah, and he's about to offer him. You know, Isaac carries the wood up. He's carrying the cross to the top of the hill. And just as he's about to slay him, behold, a ram caught in the thicket. They return. And then Genesis 23 is the death of Sarah. Now, if we follow this type and shadow along, we can understand that Sarah represented old Israel. She had to be put away, and she was buried in the cave at Machpelah. God was married. God the Father was married to Israel. But then he's got a son, and his son is going to be married. And Abraham, when he is old and he's on his bed, he calls his servant. Now, his servant's name is Eleazar, but in chapter 24, they don't call his name. The reason they don't give his name, because the Holy Spirit never testified of himself. But Eleazar is a type and shadow of the Holy Spirit. And Abraham calls him forward and says, "Put your hand under my thigh." I thought, my God, this is the place again. This is having your loins girt. This is the place of covenant. This is the place of strength. This is the place of posterity right here in the place of the thigh. And the first place that Paul tells us to put on the armor is gird your loins about with truth. The place, the center of your very being, truth. And he calls his servant and tells him to put his hand under his thigh. That means come and listen close. Come, give me all of your attention. I want you to go down to don't take him a wife of the Canaanites, but go down to my people. Go back to the land of the Ur of Chaldees and go to a certain spot, and there you'll find a bride. And then, of course, Eleazar, you know, we're reading the natural pictures here, and we read these stories, and Eleazar says, "Well, what if she won't come with me?" Well, you're free from the oath. Don't drag her by the head. He never drags us by the head. He woos us, and he lures us. And as Eleazar goes down there, I read about it. He says, "I'm going to go down to the well. I'm going to take these 10 camels, and I'm going to have all my master's goods, and I'm going to the well, and I'm going to stand by the well." That's what I titled it, "Stand by the Well." He said, "I'm going to go stand by the well." I mean, and when I read this over here in the scriptures, when he says stand, he didn't give us a place, but I know where the place is. Stand by the well. Stand upon the rock. Be careful where you stand. A lot of different metaphors. Stand on the mountaintop. Stand by the well. Eleazar said, "I'm going to stand by the well." Pre-adventure, when the woman comes down to the well and she draws water and gives water to me and gives water to my camels, she'll be the one. And lo and behold, before he could even finish saying what he had to say, here comes Rebecca. And man, was she a beauty. She comes down, "Are you thirsty?" "Yeah." And she drew water out for him, and she drew water out for the 10 camels too. I don't know, guys. I think about them things and the beauty of it. And, you know, that's the longest chapter in Genesis, chapter 24. I mean, it just goes on and on and on and on. There's a lot of things that take place at the well. And I tell you, in the Old Testament, they had to draw water out of the well. But in the New Testament, it's a well that has so much pressure in it, it springs up and flows out of you like a river. And we read about that in Psalms, that pressure. I mean, it just squeezes that water up out of you, and it just flows out into the land. So Isaac, he gets his bride at the well. Well, you know, Isaac, he has a son named Jacob. You remember where Jacob got his wife at? Got his wife at the well. There's another guy in the scripture we'll read about over here in Exodus. His name was Moses. You remember where Moses got his wife at? Moses got his wife at the well. And I'm telling you what, you want to know where Jesus got his wife at? That's why he was sitting on that well, guys. They thought he was hungry, and they went down into the town and eat, and he was sitting on Jacob's well, and he was waiting on the woman who had come out there who had five husbands, and he says, give me to drink. Well, the well is deep, and you don't have anything to draw with. He knew who this woman was. Go call your husband. Well, I've had five husbands, and the one you're with right now ain't your husband. No, but the one that she's talking to, that's the reason she had to run back to town and say, come see a man who told me all I ever did. Come see this man. Come see this man whose name is Jesus. And you know what happened? The whole town came out to see this man, and he abode there two more days. Stand. And that word there, stand. Stand by the well. It means to station yourself. I mean, that's kind of a military word. Station yourself there. You know, we'd say, well, you know, you see the commercial. Was you stationed at Camp Lejeune? Or was you stationed, you know, at Fort Benning? Or was you stationed? I was stationed there. The Holy Spirit stations himself by the well. And you know, these people, Moses stationed himself by the well. Jacob stationed himself by the well. We station ourselves in the truth of God. We station ourselves there. Where do you live at? I live in the truth of God. I live in Him. I'm stationed there. My feet are upon the solid ground, upon the rock. And as she began to give water to him and the candle and the camels, he takes earrings and puts earrings on her, bracelets on her, very costly bracelets. He gives gifts to his bride. And she's brought back. She's brought back. She's brought back on 10 camels. You know, 10, that's kind of a number of the law. But what is the law? The law is a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. She's led to him by the 10 camels. But I don't know. I'm just sharing this with you guys. When I get this picture in my head, she's on her way back. Do you know where Isaac was at the time? Now remember, they're way over here in the land of the Ur of Chaldees, but Isaac never left the promised land. He never left the land. Well, Isaac is over here at another well, and he's at a well called Lo-Ra-Oi. And that well was where Hagar, remember when Sarah dealt harshly with Hagar, and she left? She's not with Isaac yet. And she flees into the wilderness, and she's hiding out there by a well. And that's where the angel of the Lord met her and says, go back and submit yourself to the woman. Submit yourself to Sarah. Isaac is over here at this well, Lo-Ra-Oi. And he decides to go down into the field and meditate on the Lord. And as he's going down into the field, Rebecca's coming this way on 10 camels, and she looks up, and he looks up, and she says, and you just gotta, what man is this? And I'm telling you what, I don't know if that does anything for you, but when, I mean, I'm just telling you, when you begin to see the Lord, and he may be standing here and you're here, and she lifted up her eyes and she looked and she says, what man is this? Of all the people that she's ever seen in her life, and I'm telling you, of all the people I've ever seen in my life, and all the troubles and all the storms and everything that we've been, and in the middle of that, we lift up our eyes. And we see him. what man is this that is coming to meet us? And she lighted off her camel that says lighted. The word there nearly means she almost fell off. She got off that thing so quick. She didn't need those camels anymore. Now she is running into the arms of grace. She's running into the arms of him who is grace, great grace. I don't need the camels anymore, the bracelets anymore, the necklaces anymore, the earrings anymore. I don't need any of that stuff. And he took her into his tent. And she knew, he knew her, and she became his wife. I mean, this is how this thing went. To me, it's just an amazing thing. Stand by the well. I'm telling you, you can tell young people, if you're looking for a husband, if you're looking for a wife, and you want to find a good man or a good woman, go stand by the well. Go stand by the well, I'm telling you. And you know what happens at the well? Praise and worship happens at the well. Go stand by the well. I mean, people do all kinds of things to try to find people and do all these other things. But if you want to find the right one and the good one, go stand by the well. Go stand by the well. Stand. Now, when I'm looking up this word, stand, I'm just kind of following. I'm just kind of sharing some things. I see another guy. We talked about him earlier, Moses. And you know the story with Moses. Moses gets his wife by the well. They're on the backside of the desert. There's something about a well in the wilderness, isn't it? And I mean, these things happen, wells in the wilderness. And we live in a great wilderness, but everywhere this water flows, it brings life. And when Moses comes back, the scripture says, Moses, you are to rise up early and go stand before Pharaoh as Pharaoh comes down to the water, having the rod of God in your hand, and you tell Pharaoh, and I thought about this when you said, Pastor Jim, I've got to stand. I thought, my Lord, she's got a rod in her hand, and she's going to do exactly like Moses did, and she's going to smite the waters. And all of these evil reports, Kathy, that we get, and they say, death, death, but we got a rod in our hands, and the rod in our hands is nothing more or less than the Holy Spirit. And we can smite the waters, and he smote the waters, and all in the waters died. That evil report's got to go. That's what I'm saying. And it began to stink, and it began to stink. And you know, Tracy was telling me, and she said, you know, it's just, you go down to this hospitals and you see somebody that's old and in this kind of shape, and it makes you think that they just want them to die. That's how much they care for them. They just want them to die. You know what I mean, Gene? It's like, oh, you're old. We don't care about you anymore. We need to clear some bed space. You know, if we got a 30-year-old in here, maybe we can do them. You know, the scriptures talks about who we take care of, who we pray for, who we tend to. You know, the scriptures warned us. They said, Peter, when you're strong, you went about where you wanted, but when you're old, another will gird you and lead you about. What happens when you can't lead yourself about? This is when real ministry, when real prayer comes in. And the hospitals are like, we're done with you. We're done with you. There's no hope. There's no hope. I know I may be looking at these things weird, but they all come at you at the same time. And having done all standing, and Moses, you rise up and you go down to Pharaoh and you say, let my people go. We're not taking this report. And we have a rod, and he said, the rod that became a serpent. You remember that one? What is the rod that became a serpent? That's the rod of Jesus. Jesus said, except I be lifted up. Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so shall the Son of Man be lifted up. And I'm telling you what, that is none other than Jesus. And what did he say? Having done all stand, having your loins girt with truth. You may be Pharaoh, you may be Dr. So-and-so, but there's another report, Gene. There's a report, and that report is called life. That report is called wholeness. And I tell you what, I have to confess to you my own unbelief, because you go and you see all of this and you think there's no way. And I'm reminded He is the way. You know, when all reports say this is it, it's over, it's done. Who do you want in the funeral? You're making arrangements. And my God, you know, even in that, I see my mighty Jesus coming up to a woman who was about to bury her own son. And He walked straight up to the casket and laid His hands on the casket and spoke to the boy. And the boy got up and started talking. Now we might think, well, that happened in the Bible. I'm telling you what. It happens today. It happens today. This is the Lord and Savior. And this same Lord and Savior that brought Israel out of Egypt with a strong hand, the strong hand that held the rod of God, brought them straight to the Red Sea. And again, it looks like we're going to die. It looks like death all around. Death in front of us, death behind us, rocky cliffs on this side. And what happened again? Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. I'm telling you, what a report. Having done all, stand. And when you hear all of these things, I thank God that I'm around the people and around a church that says, Pastor Jim, maybe you've lost your mind, but I'm going to stand because I know the truth, and the truth will make you free. I'm telling you, all these reports may say, get the funeral home ready, get the mortician ready, get the embalmers ready, but Pastor Jim, I'm going to stand. And thank God that y'all don't listen to me half the time. Having done all, stand. Stand in the truth. As they are in the wilderness and they're about to go into battle and they're going to face the Amalekites, and Moses says, Joshua, you guys are going to go down into the battle. I'm going to go up on the hill with the rod of God in my hand, and I'm going to stand. And He stood over them, and when they come out of that, they had a new banner over them, and the banner that was over them is love. The banner that is over us is love. And they stand in that love. They stand under that banner. Having done all, stand when you go to fight your battles, when the sea is troubled and you're at your wits' end. Stand. This is the truth. He needs the truth. Stand. And when Joshua is about to bring them into the promised land, Jesus is about to bring them into the promised land, they look at the river and they know the River Jordan is all swelled up. I mean, the ice caps have melted. It's flood time. It's early in the season. The water, anybody goes in that water is going to drown. Nobody can pass through. That's our promised land over there. This is the promise of God is there. And we're here and there's a great barrier between us. We don't know what to do. Well, Joshua, you haven't passed this way before. I love that. You haven't been here before. You've never been here before. But he said, know this, when you see the ark and the priest bearing the ark and they put their feet in the waters will stand up. And I went back and looked at the scriptures and I was reading the scriptures and it says the priests that bear the ark shall stand in the water. You see, guys, man, if that ain't some intercession going on, because here I am, Teddy, and I'm at my wit's end, and I'm in the storm, and thank God the very priest of God that I'm talking to today put their feet in the water and stood, and the water stood up. And you don't know what a great victory there's been, and I think there's going to be mighty more. Many more. Because I'm telling you, if you would have seen Mommy Friday morning, you'd give her up for dead. I'm thank God that y'all didn't give her up for dead. And to see her now, and I call her on the phone this morning, and I talk to her, and she sounds like Mommy. I mean, you just think about that. She sounds like her. She's able to even talk on the phone. And then before I'd talk her up, how you doing, Mommy? Not too good. Not too good, but not today. And I'm telling you what, yesterday morning we was giving up for dead, and yesterday afternoon she was sitting up in the bed eating ice cream. Now you think about that. She ate some vanilla ice cream, then she ate some chocolate ice cream. She ate some tomato soup, drinking pop. I mean, you know, she hadn't eaten nothing in 3 days. They gave her a bath. Think about all that stuff. I mean, we don't even imagine this stuff. To come from there to there. And then, you know what the telltale sign was? I mean, all the families down there, and there's a bunch of us in the room. Now, this is the one thing that I noticed. I just share this with you. Now, Mama's sitting there, I mean, suffering, bad, gasping, grunting every breath. And when they'd pull this mask up, Ruth Ann, my sister, would look at her and say, "Mom, breathe." And because her diaphragm was so worn out that she would forget to breathe. Because her diaphragm wanted to rest. So she would have to physically make herself breathe. Now see, it's just something you and I do natural. And I'm telling you, in the middle of all of that, guys, I felt your prayers. I felt your prayers. I felt great strength come into me. And we got to watching the monitor up there. And the more we talked to Mom, and Mom would talk back, her numbers would go up. Her numbers would fall down. I've seen them go down to, 90, 89, 88. We start talking, they go up to 93, 94. Because as she talked, it's making her breathe. And I'm telling you what, there was some other people that came in. They was Jeannie and this other lady. They called them Holy Rollers. But they came in, and this lady began to pray over her. And I'm thinking, Mommy's about to die, and this lady wasn't having it. I speak life. Denise asked me, "Are you praying for your mommy? Are you speaking life over?" And you know, this woman is speaking life over Mommy. And I began to, you know, when I left that night, Thursday night, I just prayed, and me and Mommy, we prayed, and she wept. And I prayed for the breath of life to come into her lungs. And this lady down there, Tracy, continues, she's praying, and I speak wholeness and all this other stuff. And you know, I found myself not being irritated, but almost irritated. I'm thinking, Mommy's ready to die. Knock that stuff off. And I look back and I say, thank God that woman was standing. You know what I mean? Because you can get into that place of trouble, Gene, where it's over. But thank God there's other Christian people that comes in, and they're standing in the strength of the Lord, and they're not having it. And she just spoke, and she just put her hands all over Mommy, down to her feet, and all up on her head and everywhere, and she's just speaking life. Now, you might call her a holy roller. I believe she is a messenger of God. I'm glad she rolled up into that room, because I didn't have it in me. You know what I mean? And there was another lady who came in to pray. And at the time, we saw what was happening. And you guys, you probably ain't going to believe this, but me and my sisters can cut up pretty good. And we started cutting up, and we started telling old stories and stuff like that. And I kept telling them, I said, "Mom, tell them who's your favorite son." She'd laugh. I am Mom's favorite son. I really am. Mom would say, "Yeah, my only and favorite son." She would holler it out. And then I would say, "Well, Mom, who's your favorite girl?" And we'd all laugh. But Mom started feeling so much better. And you don't think about these things, but you can sit there and you can mourn or you can laugh. And the scripture tells me how good a medicine laughter is. And the joy of the Lord is our salvation. And these people, I'm telling you, if you would have heard the laughter coming out of that room down there, you would have thought, these people are crazy down there. We're in the corner room, 3418. They would have thought these people are crazy. But see, they let everybody into the room because they thought it was over. They thought it was over, so the whole family was in. But then something changed. And Tracy, she picked up on it. I thought, well, that little hateful nurse. She came down to the room and says, "Y'all can only have two in the room. We've been there for 2 days, all of us in there. But you know why? There's hope now. There's hope. So now we had to go, and me and Tracy went outside, and then she came back down again, and she said, no, you can't be out here either. Y'all have to go. So there can only be two. That's how much it changed. That's how much it changed. And you know, we ain't out of the woods yet. I'll say that. You still got a long way to go. But I have hope. And I saw it could be, it's going to be both. It's going to be a good and wonderful death, and it's going to be wholeness. It's going to be both. And it's hard for people to understand, but my mom has great peace either way. And this can only be given from the Lord. And it's going to be wholeness, and not just wholeness for mommy, but wholeness for us and all the family. Great joy. I wish I would have brought the songbook with me. But mommy is laying there asleep, and she wakes up out of her sleep, and she says, number 94, when I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died. What a song. You know? What can you do with that? When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died. What a song. You see, Rebecca lifted up her eyes and she said, what man is this? Abraham lifted up his eyes into the hills. How many times they that look for him shall behold him. Even though we may be weary and worn out, he shall renew our strength. We have our loins girt about with truth. And I'm going to tell you something, guys. I know how Paul reads it. Put on truth. Put on the whole armor of God. But I'm going to tell you something right here. Make no mistake about it. Except the Lord dress you, you'll fall naked. And I thank God he tells us to put on the armor, Teddy. But I want to tell you something. He's put it on us. He's it. He keeps us dressed. He keeps us in the storm. He keeps us in the trouble. He dresses us. We might think we put him on, but he has clothed us with himself. That's just who he is. Who is this man? Who is this man? Who is this coming from Bozrah with dyed garments, blood on his garments? I read the same thing in Revelation, and I'm going to quit right here. They looked, and behold, here this mighty warrior come, and what was on his thigh, upon his vesture, upon his thigh, his inner garments, what was on his? A vesture dipped in blood. And wrote upon it the word of the Lord. And he's got a name, and his name is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. What a mighty warrior. What a mighty God. I mean, no better song that we could have sang. Our great God. Our great God. He does wondrous and mighty things. Behold our wondrous God. As we get ready to do our thing, I want to say this. Thank God you guys stood. And I know every one of you was praying, and I felt every prayer. And I know my family felt every prayer. because there was great strength came in that room. You can ask Tracy, she was there. I mean, there was great strength in that room. And that lady, she was from Highlands Fellowship. She looked around and she started laughing and she said, wow, what a wonderful family. What a wonderful family. See, they don't even know, but I knew. I knew. The joy of the Lord had filled that room. The joy of the Lord. I mean, Dad could tell you, we're talking about Pilly and we're talking about a little baby doll, bald-headed baby with a scrunched-up nose. We're talking about Dot Boy and Teddy. I mean, we're going way back. We're going way back. The joy of the Lord. That's what, you know what, guys? That's what this whole thing is about. Even though y'all wasn't there, you were there. And your prayers were there. And they were manifested there. And it was so important. So important. But it's so important to keep that going. But it's a wonderful thing. I'm telling you, that little girl said last week, I don't have anybody. And I thought about that, man, I've got everybody. And not just everybody, him. All praying. Wonderful thing, guys. Wonderful. I'm gonna quit with that. You can cut that off.